Good morning. You know, we thank and praise God for our evangelism month. So if you're here for the first time, the whole month of July is evangelism related preaching. And I pray that all of us have a burning desire inside of our hearts for sharing the gospel. This morning, I wanted to encourage those of us who are already actively evangelizing, who are already actively sharing the gospel. Keep planting, keep nurturing, and keep growing God's church. For Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." God bless you. And for those of us who are not yet actively evangelizing, this sermon is for you. It is to encourage you, to equip you on how to evangelize. And I pray that today God works in your heart and in your minds to have a burning fire for evangelism. And on your behalf, I say amen. You know, a few weeks back, we had Pastor Massimo. He was here and he shared with us why we need to evangelize. Because as we sang, Jesus died and he rose again. In Jesus, we have the greatest hope that there is life after we die. And everyone needs to hear about this hope. Now, here's a question. What did the risen Jesus say after he rose from the dead to his disciples? What did the risen Jesus say? Anyone? The risen Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." If you believe in the risen Jesus, the same mission applies to you. As our logo says, the life of a Christian is a life of mission. And the question this morning I want everyone to answer in your hearts is, are we actively engaged in the mission of Jesus, or are we actively engaged in our own missions? Are we proclaiming the good news? Are we making disciples? Or are we mostly busy making wealth or a name for ourselves? And please don't get me wrong. Having a good job, having a good career is important. It is productive. But if anything stands before God's mission, we need to pause and we need to check our hearts. The role of preachers is to preach the truth boldly and is to remind our brothers and sisters about what God says. And God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God says, go and make disciples. Go and evangelize. You know, Jesus's commands are not vague. These commands are not unclear. It is not like we do not understand what Jesus is saying. But if we are honest, often we find ourselves busy with our own missions because we are distracted. Because we are living in an age of so many distractions that we simply forget what our true purpose or mission is. Now and then we hear sermons like today and God works in our heart to encourage us, to motivate us, to take actions. But we go back into the world and we are back again being distracted. Virtual life takes over spiritual life. Material wealth takes over spiritual health. And instead of feeling spiritually joyful, rich, full of heart for mission, many believers feel spiritually drained, having no time to share the gospel, and church becomes a Sunday ritual. You know, when was the last time you were really excited to come to church? When was the last time you passionately shared Jesus with someone? When was the last time that you really felt the need to get down on your knees and pray for someone else's salvation? Are you distracted? And if you are, please don't feel guilty. Please don't feel discouraged, because that is what the enemy wants you to feel. Instead of feeling guilty or discouraged, we need revival. Instead of feeling guilty, we desperately need to revive within ourselves a spirit of mission and evangelism. For Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." Jesus took ordinary fishermen like Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he changed their earthly profession into becoming fishers of men. Jesus transforms ordinary people like us to become leaders in God's mission. Don't you believe that Jesus can do the same for you? Of course, he can. And all it takes to revive within ourselves a spirit of mission and evangelism is to follow Jesus. The problem is, we're only following Jesus mostly on weekends. We need to follow Jesus every morning, every afternoon, every evening, and every night. And Jesus will make us become fishers of men. Let us turn to Jesus in prayer before we continue with the sermon. Father, we thank you for the one and only Son that you sent because you love us. Oh Lord, we thank you for the mission of Christ, who not only came and told us many, many heavenly truths, but he gave his life so that we can live. And oh Lord, we pray that you may help us kill all of our distractions that we have in this world and point us back to a daily following of Jesus, so that all of us can be fishers of men. I ask and pray in the mighty name of Christ. Amen. You know, today's sermon is going to be a very practical but biblical sermon. And before we talk about how to evangelize, we must address some barriers that people face that stops them from sharing the gospel. And one of the big barriers is distractions. We are distracted, so it stops us from sharing the gospel. Another one is called temperamental. There are people who feel shy, who feel reserved, they feel they are an introvert, and that becomes a barrier for them to share the gospel with other people. And I can understand if you're shy or you're reserved or an introvert, but my question is being an introvert or a shy person really stopping us from sharing the gospel? Is it really a barrier? You know, did you know that Pastor Caleb is an introvert? Yet Pastor Caleb is boldly and passionately sharing the gospel with others. You know, does he have any secret powers? You know, Pastor Caleb, are you taking any confidence pills? Maybe he can hypnotize people to listen to him. No. The reason that Caleb can be an introvert and be bold to share the gospel is only one, and that reason is Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow him, and he will make us fishers of men." Jesus made Pastor Caleb a fisher of men. Jesus can do the same for you. All we have to do is to follow him daily. Practically, I encourage, if there's any introvert in our church, or you're feeling shy to evangelize, I point you all to Pastor Caleb. Now share with him and he will share with you his journey and how you can evangelize. But please feel free to talk to me. We can organize workshops that can help you. We can bring leaders from outside the church, within the church, to help you evangelize. The second barrier is theological. Some people think that evangelism is not my calling. No, God has not called me to evangelize. God has called me to praise and worship only. But we just read the Great Commission from the risen Jesus. So I would love to clarify with you today. Evangelism is not the task of preachers, pastors, and leaders only. Evangelism is for every believer. We are all called to give the reason for the hope we have in Jesus. We're all called to make the most out of every opportunity. Evangelism is for every single Christian. And if anyone here has any doubts about this, we encourage you to come talk to us. We'd be happy to sit down and have a great conversation with you. Another barrier that stops people from evangelizing is fear. We are thinking about sharing the gospel, but then we get afraid. Fear of rejection, fear of condemnation, fear of what people will say, what people will think. And fear creates a big barrier that stops us from reaching out to people. And let me prove to you today that this barrier of fear can be easily broken. I'm going to give you a scenario. Imagine you are on a boat and the boat is in the sea. And as the boat starts and goes in the middle of the sea, one person falls down and this lady is now drowning and screaming for help. And let's also assume that all of us can swim. We know how to swim. Now in your boat, nobody is brave enough to dive and go and rescue this young lady. You are also afraid because the waves look scary. But here is my question. If you were in that boat and you know how to swim, will you watch this person drown and die? Or will you go and save her? If you don't mind, allow me to do a life test right now. Those of us who will go and dive to save her in this situation, please raise your hands. Raise your hands so I can see them. Okay? Not bad. 50%. She has 50% chance of survival. And here's the thing. Maybe some of you raise your hands in your hearts, right? But here's the thing. You were scared, you were afraid, yet you raised your hands because you were willing to dive and save this person. Why? Why is that? Because our love to save this person overcomes our fear. Let me say that again. Our love to save a person overcomes our fear. So I hope you remember this example because many people are drowning without Jesus. Many people will be drowned forever if Jesus does not rescue them. And we believers, we are already saved. We are already promised an eternal and beautiful life with God. Why are we afraid? Why is it that we block ourselves from sharing the gospel? You know, there are many people in our families, in our workplace, around us that are drowning without Jesus. Will you go and dive and save them through sharing the gospel? I hope you do. Don't pray for less fear. Pray for more love because love overcomes fear. And sometimes it's not that we are shy, it's not that we have fear, but we're just not motivated. You know, we don't seem to have urgency to evangelize. It's not a priority in our life. And we take a back seat and we say, maybe next time I will share the gospel with this person. Or we wait for the right timing to preach the gospel to somebody, as if there is such thing called the right timing. You know, meet Prateek. Prateek is from India. He's a radiologist, he's a doctor, and he was living in London for many, many years, and he was studying hard, he was pushing himself, he was working really, really hard to persevere and to create a better future for his three lovely kids and wife that you can see on the screen. For many years, he really, really struggled and he really focused to build a better future for his kids so that they can have a better life in London and move with him instead of being in India. And in 2025, after years of planning and hard work and patience, his dreams finally came true. This year, his three kids and his wife got visas to move with Prateek to London. Dr. Komi, his wife, she resigned from her job. The kids resigned from the school. They packed everything. They got ready to say goodbye to India and to say hello to London, a place of their dreams, a place of their hopes and future. Sadly for them, all of them were on board the Air India flight 171, which took off, and in a few moments, it crashed. All of them are dead. And such is life. In one moment, a lifetime of dreams turned to ashes. You know, this story is a brutal reminder that our life on this planet is fragile. We may build, we may plan, we may dream beautiful dreams for ourselves and our families, but everything we hold dear on this earth, our homes, our jobs, our titles, our loved ones, it all hangs by a thread. We must live with urgency to share the gospel because there is no second chance of salvation. Live with urgency because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Every single time you talk to an unbeliever and you share Jesus, it matters. Every single time you share Jesus to an unbeliever, it counts. Keep planting. And some people would wonder, why can't God do the planting? And I want to read to you what Paul writes. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. Someone worked in our lives to help us, to save us, to get to know Jesus. You need to do the same before it is too late. Which brings us to the final barrier that prevents many people from evangelizing. They don't know how to evangelize, which is why that is the focus of the sermon today, giving you some tips on how to evangelize. Now, there are many ways in which people can evangelize. I know people who are very natural at it, like Deacon Bruce. I know people who have open house lunches and dinners, their own unique ways to bring people in, and then they share the gospel. I know people who are excellent at communication, who are not introverts, but they are extreme extroverts like me, that can share the gospel with people. And God bless you. But many people need to learn how to kickstart or how to boost up your evangelism journey. And today we will share a few tips that can really, really help you. Now, last week, Deacon Bruce preached the importance of prayer in evangelism. And that when we pray, we depend on God for God's strength and God's provisions. And I wanted to echo what Deacon Bruce said. We must pray for the unbeliever because the God of this world, referring to the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. The God of this age, referring to the devil, has blinded people to see the light of the gospel. Which is why when we share Jesus, a lot of times we get rejection. People need our prayers to see the light of the gospel. And today I will share with you four key learnings from Apostle Paul and his ministry. And Paul, for me, is one of the best evangelists in the Bible. Now, the first thing that we can learn from Paul on how to evangelize is knowing your audience. You know, most of the time we are evangelizing to people that we have some connection with. Knowing or understanding our audience can help us to tailor our conversation. This is what Paul does in the book of Acts. He always tailored his message to the people he was speaking to. To the Jews, Paul reasoned from the scriptures because the scriptures were central to the Jewish identity. But to the Gentiles, Paul did not start with the scriptures. He started by creation or natural revelation, and then he moved on to share the good news. And look, we do this in our workplaces all the time. You know, when we are meeting our big boss or any senior boss in the company, we prepare for that meeting really well. We try to understand what our boss is like, what they don't like, what communication they prefer, what should we say, what should we not say, and we put a lot of effort to convince them. To prepare for a presentation with our bosses or our clients or to close deals, we dress up, we get ready, and I know people who spend weeks and months preparing for one presentation. Especially if there's any consultant sitting here, you may be spending more than a month to prepare for one presentation. So here is my question to all of us. How important is it to save a soul? How important is it for you to save a soul? Before we evangelize, we need to prepare for that important conversation because there's nothing more important than saving a soul. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Few things that we can do to know our audience, understand their background, understand what preferences they have, understand what worldviews they have, understand what do they care about, and then prepare how to evangelize to that person in a way that it makes sense for them. Kind of reminds me of a quick story. Once in a church, there was this really amazing auntie, and she's part of the ushering team, and I'm not talking about our church, so ushers, don't worry. And this auntie, she's an usher, and she's really passionate about the gospel. And one day, this young lady comes into the church, and she was really afraid and scared. But this auntie got a hold of her, and she's like, "Hey, are you new?" And the girl says, "Yes, I'm new. I'm first time coming to a church." And she says to this girl, "Do you see Jesus there? This Jesus died for your sins. You must believe in Him and repent." Now, that's what I mean by not knowing your audience. And I don't want to discourage you and say that that is not a good way, But I would love for you to think, how can you better prepare to share the good news of Jesus with people in a way that it makes sense? Point number two that we can learn from the Apostle Paul, and this is an important point. Be prepared to reason with people. Why is this so important? Because when we evangelize, what we are literally telling people is the truth that they believe to be true is not true. The gospel challenges everything about our world. The gospel challenges the way we live. The gospel challenges the way we think. The gospel challenges the way we act. And if we are not ready to reason with people, every time we will get a tough question, our answer will be by faith. If you're sharing the gospel and someone says, hey, why do you believe the Bible to be true? By faith. How do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? By faith. How do you know that the Christian God is the only true God? By faith. And if that is our reasoning, it will be really difficult to make anyone be persuaded, because if we believe everything by faith, people have the right to believe what they believe by their faith. We must be prepared to reason. And I'll make it very clear to you that this is what Paul did in his evangelism. In Acts 17, we see Paul in Thessalonica. What does Paul do? He goes in and he reasoned with people from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul reasoned, he explained, and he proved to people. And what was the outcome? Well, one of the key outcomes is that many people accepted Jesus as their Lord. We see Paul in Athens, where he reasoned with people in the marketplace every day. We see Paul in Corinth and Antioch. He reasoned with Jews and Greeks. We see Paul in Ephesus, where he reasoned for 3 months boldly persuading people about the kingdom of God. I hope you get the point. Our ability to reason with people, to proclaim and to defend the gospel, is crucial, because people can ask us all kinds of questions, and the gospel will challenge the way they live, the way they think. So the question is, how do we equip ourselves? How can we prepare ourselves to reason? And there is no shortcuts if you are looking for one. Allow me to explain with another example. Now imagine you're going for an important surgery. Let's say you really need an important surgery. Would it be okay for the nurse or the office boy to perform your surgery? Or would you want the best possible surgeon? Imagine, maybe don't imagine this one, but understand that if a person is facing some severe crisis about their health, that something is really wrong inside, would this person go to ChatGPT to look for advice? Or will the person go and see a specialist? I think we can all agree that we would want the best surgeon and we would want a specialist, because our life is at risk. Friends, all unbelievers have their lives at risk. Every unbeliever's life is at a very big risk. Would they not want someone who is ready to reason with them? So we must prepare ourselves to reason. Now, here are some practical options. The first one all of us can do very easily. self-learning. Put in a time every single week. Separate yourself in your house, in a cafe, wherever you like, and spend a few hours every single week, if not daily, learning how to evangelize. You can join seminary like me, or you can take part-time seminary and join some courses or conferences. We have many such events happening in Kuala Lumpur or Selangor that you can talk to me about. Another way to equip ourselves, and we keep talking about it and we'll never stop talking about this, please join a Bible study group if you're not part of one. Bible study groups give us consistency in learning the gospel. We have young adults ministry, we have connect groups, we have a virtual life course, and as we learn today, there is no tomorrow that is guaranteed, so join one today. Don't wait for it. Another thing that you can do, KLBC records all the sermons in the main church and audio recording in this church. KLBC YouTube channel has more than 500 sermons and topics you can watch anywhere, anytime with internet. You can also reach out to me if you're interested in getting any sermons, because my lovely wife records my sermons as well. If you are really looking, there's a lot of ways to equip yourself to reason. The next point, something we learned last month when I preached here. Love over knowledge. You know, many people can equip themselves, many people can reason, many people can gain biblical knowledge, but they forget that love matters more. How we act, how we behave, what we say is more important than how much we know. To share the gospel, Apostle Paul was whipped by lashes, he was beaten by rods, he was stoned, he was in danger all the time, many sleepless nights, many times without water or food. And yes, Paul was an excellent speaker. Apostle Paul was a great communicator, but what made Paul great at evangelism is love. What made Paul a great evangelist is his love for God, his love for people, and his love for God's mission. Because this is how he was living his life. Knowledge may win the debate, but love wins the soul. Knowledge may win the debate, but love wins the soul. It reminds me of something I've shared before, what Billy Graham said. We are the Bibles the world is reading. You know, this year I was appointed as the head of evangelism for KLBC. And if you were to ask me what is evangelism, evangelism is simply sharing God's love. And what that means is not giving up on people we evangelize to, being patient by loving them enough, even though they reject us. And what it means to love is to keep going and keep praying and keep caring and keep giving without expecting anything in return. Evangelism is sharing God's love. And the last point that I want to talk about, something that tires a lot of people, is they evangelize and they focus too much on the outcomes. People get frustrated, they get angry, they get agitated because the person that they are evangelizing and loving and caring about does not change. And this is where I want to encourage you this morning and say, leave all outcomes to God, because it is only God that can convert people. It is not us. Leave all outcomes to God. You know, we saw Paul evangelize and people come to the faith. But you can also find in Acts that when he was sharing the gospel, some people were violent, some people were hostile, some people mocked him, some people want him dead, some people want him imprisoned. And if this can happen to Paul, it will definitely happen to us. Focus on giving your best to a person. Focus on loving them and leave all outcomes to Jesus. And I know that some people take many, many years to come to faith. And that's where I say, don't give up, because Jesus did not give up on us. So I hope and pray that these four simple points stick with you. They help you in your journey, because this is what I could draw from Paul's evangelism, ministry, and journey. I hope and pray that some of these learnings will help you overcome your barriers, your fears about sharing the gospel, and kickstart or boost up your evangelism journey. Now, before we end, as I said, we are always distracted. Some of us already distracted about what to eat for lunch. So before we go and get more distracted, may I invite all believers into making a commitment right here, right now, today. Can I invite all fellow believers to make a commitment right now in your hearts to evangelize to at least 3 more people before the end of this year? Can we do that? Yeah? See a lot of heads nodding. Go back home. Put the name of these 3 people in your diary, in your notepad, on your phones, on your desktop, wherever it may be, and focus on how you will share the gospel with them by 2025. Let us pray. Almighty Lord Father, can we take a moment to pause in our life full of distractions today and give thanks to you? Oh Lord, it is easy to sing a song. It is easy to raise our hands here on Sunday and then go back into the world and forget that being God, you were willing to let your one and only Son to die to save us. And, O Lord, we pray, there are many distractions in our life, something that we can comprehend and we understand because we are living in a sinful world. But, O Lord, we pray that we do not be Sunday Christians, but we follow Jesus daily, and that Jesus helps us become fishers of men. And, O Lord, I pray for all the members, all the believers sitting in this church, to look back into our life and ask ourselves, are we driving the mission of Christ or not? And Lord, I pray, may you break our hearts for people who are drowning in death without Jesus. For there are many, many people around us, even though we are in a car, in a grab car, or we are in a journey somewhere, there are many people drowning without Jesus. And, O Lord, we pray that love overcomes all our fears. And, O Lord, we pray that every single member of our church joins a Bible study group to equip themselves to reason with people. I pray, O Lord, that you ignite a fire of evangelism in all our hearts that always burns every single day. We pray and ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.